Rishas Avi Mori, the Divrei Asaros this evening, Shvili Yuhu Nishmas, my grandfather's Yerzeit this week, Chaim Alter Ben Yechezkel. There's a mashal given of a smuggler who wanted to transfer contraband across the border. He was in dire straits, it was a difficult economic situation, and needed to be able to sell his wares. And he arranged with a certain wagon driver that in a few months' time, on a specific night, in the middle of the night, they would travel and they would go to a place where they would be able to sell the goods and be able to make a large profit. And a month before the set date, the smuggler began to get a little bit nervous. He realized there was a tremendous risk involved. If they were caught, they'd be fined, possibly worse, imprisoned, or maybe even worse than that. And it became difficult for him to sleep at night. And each and every night, as it got progressively closer over that last month, it became more and more difficult for him to sleep. But the wagon driver was still calm. The wagon driver was busy with his own schedule. He was busy with the rides that he had to do during that period of time. And he didn't have the time to think about this mission that they had coming up. But as the week before this night that they had designated came, even the wagon driver began to get nervous. He realized that there was a tremendous amount of risk involved, and they were really putting themselves on the line in order to try and smuggle these goods. And it became difficult for him to sleep as well. But he also had an assistant. He had a young man who helped him with the wagon, helped him with the horse. And he was still oblivious. He didn't fully understand the magnitude of the situation, the potential danger that was involved. And he was still, even that last week, able to sleep well. But came the night before, and even that young man, the assistant to the wagon driver, he could no longer sleep at night. And certainly the wagon driver himself and the smuggler, they were all up all night, realizing there was a tremendous danger in what they were about to go through. And they got together, and everything was loaded onto the wagon, and they began to travel in the middle of the night. They began on their journey across the border. And as they got to the border, suddenly they heard, "Stop!" And they were caught. And at that point, the assistant and the wagon driver, everybody was shaking. The smuggler, he passed out, he fainted. He was so scared. And the only one who wasn't scared at that point was the horse. And the horse was happily just standing there, even at the last second when the police were approaching them at the border. And this marshal is given to describe different people when it comes to the Yamim Noram, when it comes to the Yemei Adin. There are people that are sensitive a month beforehand. Comes Elul, they begin to feel the trepidation, they begin to feel that the Yemei Adin are coming. There's an impending judgment. But there are people who still are busy. There's so much to do in life. They're busy at work. They're busy with their daily routines. And they're not able to be sensitive yet. But come the week before, come the night of Slichos. We're about to start reciting Slichos. Come the week before, okay, so now they begin to feel the trepidation. They realize what's on the line, that we're about to be judged in 1 week's time. And just like the wagon driver who began to feel it a week before, so too they feel it. But there are those who, like the wagon driver's assistant, even come the last week, even with extra slichos, they're losing too much sleep, they can't concentrate, and they still don't fully appreciate the magnitude of what we're about to experience over the Yamim Noraim. But come the night of Rosh Hashanah, then they feel it. The night before, as the din is beginning, then they can feel it. But unfortunately, there are some who are like the horse also. And the Yemei HaDin passed through, and it hasn't even been able to penetrate. And they're still happy as they're going through Rosh Hashanah. They're enjoying the tunes of the Chazanim, the wonderful voices of the Chazanim. The beautiful Tekiah Shofar. Who has the best Baal Tokeiah? The food that we have. And the entire period of the Yamim Noraim has passed them by, and they've missed it. And it's at this point, as we begin Slichos, that we need to decide definitively for ourselves not to be like that horse, to make sure to awaken ourselves, to arouse ourselves, to be able to be sensitive to the impending din and to the days of Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Meitshuv, and Yom Kippur that are soon to come. And we know that Elul is a time of preparation, but having a special time of preparation is not enough, because it requires of us to take advantage. All it means is if there's a special time of preparation is that our ability to succeed is greater. But if we don't put in the requisite effort, it's not going to help. It doesn't come automatically. And as we begin Slichos, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we prepared? Are we ready? What are we doing to prepare ourselves? We know that one of the simanim, one of the rimazim that we are given by the Chachamim to Elul is Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And the Aseret Meitshuvah, Adir Shu Hashem, Behimatzo Kira'u V'yoso Karov. Seek Hashem at a time when He's close to you. And what's the difference between these two? What's the difference between the Ani l'dodi of Elul and the Adir Shu Hashem, Behimatzo of Aseret Meitshuvah? And if you think about it, the Ani l'dodi refers to the relationship between us and Hashem. There's a close relationship that we can establish with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what has to be done during Elul. But Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kira'u B'yoso Korov, that Aseret Meitshuvah, are the opportunity to see what we can do with that relationship. Once we've been able to establish that relationship, then we have the opportunity to see just how close we can become to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how close we can get to Hashem. But what that means is that there's much to accomplish in Elul. Oftentimes when we think about practicing, we think about preparing for something, the purpose of the preparation is in order to be able to succeed when the real thing comes. We prepare for an event so that when the event arrives, we should be ready for that event. But if I know that I myself don't need any preparation, I can wing it without any rehearsal, I'll get up, I'll speak, whatever it might be, if I don't need that preparation, so there's no point. The only point of preparation is in order to succeed when the actual event arrives. But what we see is that with an Elul, that's not the case. That Elul, it's Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, we need to go through that phase, we need to establish a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a relationship with God during Elul, in order to be able to maximize the Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kira'u B'yoso Karov, in order to maximize the closeness that we can achieve to Hashem come the Aseret Meitshuvah. And Elul is the foundation upon which Rosh Hashanah is built. We often think that when a year passes, that year is buried. We have nothing to do with that year anymore. But what's interesting is that the preparation for Rosh Hashanah begins the year before. Elul is already the preparation. And if the only purpose of the preparation was to get us ready for the big day, if it didn't have a goal unto itself, so it would seem, okay, fine. So the only reason we're preparing in the old year is because that's the only way to be ready when Rosh Hashanah comes. But once we've established that there's that which we have to do, and we have to accomplish in Elul, so it seems strange. Why should the preparation happen in the previous year? We should begin the year with a month of preparation, with a month of establishing a close relationship to Hashem, and from there begin the Yemei Adin. We should begin with a month of time before we get to sit in front of Hashem in judgment. Why is the preparation, which again is essential, there's a goal. We'll have to elaborate more on what that goal is, but there's that which we need to accomplish in Elul, so why would it be that that's in the prior year? And the answer is that every year builds upon the previous one. It's not buried in the past, but it lays a foundation for the future. And everything that we accomplish, and all that we've accomplished, is the beginning and is the base upon which everything that we are able to hopefully achieve in the coming year and the coming years is built upon. So how do we approach Elul? How do we approach the final week of the year? So perhaps we can zero in on two ideas, two aspects of Elul. The first is Elul's preparation. So you'll ask, I just tried to say that Elul is not just about preparation. And that's correct. But even though it's not the goal of Elul to prepare, certainly we need to prepare as well. But part of the lesson is that the preparation is not optional. The preparation is something that's required. And to understand this a little bit more, we can look at a Rashi in this coming week's parasha, Rashi in Parashas Hazinu. Rashi comments on the pasuk, Kinesher Yair Kino. Just like the eagle hovers and flaps over his nest, Rashi comments, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Nagam Berachamim Ubechemla, that Hashem ingrained in them a certain mercy. Kinesher Hazer Rachamane Abana, just like the rachamim of the nesher, the mercy that the nesher, that the eagle has towards its children. Ve'eno nichnos l'kino pitom, it doesn't suddenly come into the nest and scare the children. Rather, achu mekashkes v'metarek abana b'knafav, it hovers over, flaps its wings, goes between the trees. Kadesh ye'ur abanav, in order to wake up the children before the eagle arrives. Why? In order to awaken the children and to give them the strength to be makabel, the strength to receive the eagle, the strength to receive the parent. What does that mean, the strength, the koach, to be makabel? So we can all attest to the fact that when we're not prepared for something, when something takes us by surprise, it's very difficult to take in that experience. As an example, if you take, if somebody, Rahman al-Islam, was in a car accident, so you know that it happens so suddenly, it's very hard to absorb the details. It's very hard to remember exactly what happened. And when you're repeating it afterwards, sometimes those details will change. And it has nothing to do with what the insurance company wants to hear versus the hospital versus somebody else. Not intentionally, but just because the accident happens so suddenly, we're not prepared for it, so it's very difficult to pay attention to all those details. It's different, so as Rashi said, it's difficult to be mekabel. It's difficult to receive that information. But if we have the time, if we are prepared for something, if we're told in advance that this is an important event, you should focus on the details, pay attention to what's about to transpire, then that's not the case. We have the ability to be sensitive even to minute details. The Gemara in Ksuvah comments, Omer Rav, Yomoli Nagdu, L'chananya Mishov, V'azarya, Polchul Salma. If instead of trying to kill Chananya Mishov, V'azarya, for not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's Avodah Zarah, if instead they would have tried to torture Chananya Mishov, V'azarya, they would have bowed down to the idol. And it seems very difficult. The Gemara is trying to prove that torture is worse than killing somebody. And Tosfos already asks, but how do we know that? We know that Rabbi Akiva was able to withstand torture, so maybe also Chananya Mishael Bazari. Okay, even if torture is worse, that wasn't what the scenario was, that wasn't the situation. Perhaps had they had to experience the torture, they would have been able to overcome that also, the same way they were willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace in order to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. And Tosfos answers with a very cryptic answer that we weren't dealing with real Avodah Zarah, therefore there was not an absolute chiyuv to die, rather it was an opportunity to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. And just to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, they were willing to allow themselves to be killed, but they weren't going to be able to withstand the difficulty of the torture. But it still seems difficult. How does the Gemara prove from that that torture, how can the Gemara know for certain that Chananya Mishael Bazari would not have been able to withstand the torture? Again, even if it's worse, perhaps they'd be able to. So Rav Shojorn suggests that perhaps it's the same idea. Nebuchadnezzar said that anybody who doesn't bow down to the idol is going to be killed. In order to withstand that Nisoyon, in order to be able to overcome that test, they had to prepare themselves. And they had to know going in that this is what's going to happen and we're prepared and we can overcome this and we can be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, we can sanctify God's name. And had Nebuchadnezzar said anybody who doesn't bow down is going to be tortured, then they would have prepared themselves to be tortured as well, and the torture is worse than the Misa, as the Gemara says. But since they knew that it was only going to be a case of killing them, they weren't going to be tortured, they didn't prepare themselves for that. And it's because of that that the Gemara and Tosfos knew that Hananiah, even the great Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, would not have been able to withstand the torture and to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in this situation. And it's a very powerful lesson that in order to overcome Nisyonos, in order to overcome difficulties, it requires separation. When we're approaching a mitzvah, when we're approaching any difficult situation without preparation, then our ability to succeed is diminished. And if that's true of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, certainly it's true of us. And if we're trying to approach any situation, and certainly the impending Yemei HaDin, it's important to prepare. What reminders do we have to prepare? So we have two reminders. First, we have the shofar, which again is not just an opportunity for the Baal Tzokhei to practice. It was just an opportunity for the Baal Tzokhei to practice, so there could have been a halacha. The Baal Tzokhei has to practice every day at home, and it wouldn't affect all of us. We wouldn't have to sit here in shul, and it wouldn't have been incorporated as part of the davening in the Yemei Elul. Rather, it's part and parcel of the preparation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know, that you're required to prepare. And since you're required to prepare, therefore I'm requiring you to hear the shofar as we approach Rosh Hashanah. But there's also another reminder. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Ani yesheinov libi er, kol dodi dofek pitzchi li. That the remez that is given is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Himself, knocks on the door, knocks on our hearts, and we need to respond, we need to answer. And it's this mashal and imagery that I think brings us to the second aspect of Elul. What we're supposed to accomplish in Elul, as we mentioned, is more than just preparation, but it's a specific type of preparation. We mentioned the remez of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And you notice the order. It's Ani L'Dodi. I am to my beloved. It's our responsibility to take that first step. It has to be Ani L'Dodi. I am to my beloved. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that I will respond with V'Dodi Li. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to us in turn. Hashem will reciprocate. But again, we need to take that initiative. So how do we create that relationship? What does it mean, Ani L'Dodi? So we know we have different types of relatives. We have the relatives who we see when Rachmana Litzlan, somebody is sitting Shiva, somebody is in Avelis, and so some relative who they never see will come to the house to see them. And those same relatives are the ones when Baruch Hashem, there's a Simcha, so those relatives are around again. But in between, we have nothing to do with them. We don't really interact with them. But there are also relatives who are part and parcel of our house, who are members of our household, who are much, much closer. And the question is, which of these relatives is going to be the relationship with which we establish, in which we establish with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it going to be Ani L'Dodi, of literally, to a dod, to an uncle who you don't see so often? Or is it going to be an Ani L'Dodi in the sense of a beloved, somebody who's part and parcel of our household? And if you take the mashal forward, when a relative who you don't see so often comes to visit, so they visit for a short time. So what do? You treat them as you treat a guest. So what do you do? So don't tell my wife this is what I do, but we have an extra room in the house, so when there's nobody around, so the svarim are strewn all about, and I use it for my preparation, whatever I want to do. So then when somebody's coming to visit, so you pile everything up neatly, and you put it inconspicuously into different places, so that the guest can feel comfortable, and the guest can find a place in which to put their own belongings. But what happens when a member of the household who is away, somebody who lives, somebody who's part of the family, is away for a year or two at college, in yeshiva, whatever it might be, and now they're coming and they're moving back into the house and they need that room. It's not enough anymore to simply make piles out of our belongings and put them inconspicuously into a corner, but it comes time that we need to move our belongings out of the room. We have to make sure that this person can now feel that this is their room. They're part of our house. And when we answer the kol dodi dofek, when we answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knocking, when we feel ready, when we're inspired, when it becomes the beginning of Elul, and we're ready to respond to whatever inspiration we have, and to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're going to answer that knock, we need to know if we're answering the door, as we're answering the door for one of those relatives that we don't see so often, who's coming for a visit, or a relative who's here to stay, who's part of our family. Chazal tell us in Shir HaShirim, in the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, Bnei, Soach li Pesach Echad Shal Tshuva Kechuda Shal Machat, open up for me a doorway, an opening of tshuva as wide as the head of a needle. V'ani poseach lachem tzachim sheyu agolos v'kronios nichnasos bo. And Hashem says, if you open up that small Pesach for me, that small gateway for me, I will widen it to a gateway in which chariots can pass through. So it seems not so difficult. We don't have to do so much. All we have to do is open it up a little bit. We have to do a little bit on our part, and Hashem promises that He's going to do the rest. So why are we so often unsuccessful? Why don't we feel this? Why don't we feel that we've done our part, and now it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's responsibility? He promised us. The Medrash says He's supposed to open it up the rest of the way. How come we don't feel that? And the Kushker explains that it doesn't say to open up the door for Hashem, to allow Hashem into the door. Rather, Psoach li Pesach, to open, to create an opening. That opening needs to be permanent. It's not the same thing as opening a door when you're going to allow somebody in and you know full well that a minute later you're going to close that door. Psoach li Pesach Echad Shel Tshuva has to be a Pesach. It has to be an opening that's permanent. And an opening that's permanent, even if it's only going to be a small one, even if it's only going to be a Pesach, as wide as the head of the pin, it still is a difficult task now. It has to be something that we're going to open, and it's going to be there permanently. So how do we do it? We hear a good shmooze, a good drasha, a shir, and we want to make it more than just a nice work, something that we can repeat, something that we can say over at the table. How do we take that inspiration of Elul and translate it into fulfilling the mandate of Ani Dodi, of guaranteeing that Hashem will stick with us and respond with Dodi Li? So again, as we said in that mashal, when the relative comes, if it's somebody who's coming just to visit, so then we can pile our things up, we can make it a temporary dwelling for them. We can open up the door, and we can treat them appropriately, and we can treat them hospitably. But again, it doesn't require any fundamental change. But if we want that opening to stay open, and we want that opening to be permanent, then it requires moving our belongings completely out of that room. Opening up a space that's going to be unique, going to be special for that relative to stay in. If we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to come into our hearts, if we want the inspiration of Elul to be something which can carry us through the Yomim Noraim, through the entire period and beyond, it requires making real change. And it demands of us to make a sacrifice. Our hearts are filled with many desires. We have many ritzonos. We have many things that we want in life. Whether it's possessions, whether it's career goals, whatever it might be, whatever goals we set, accomplishments, everybody has their ritzonos. Everybody has the things that they want in life. And those ritzonos are what fill up our heart. And that's what points what direction we're going to go. I saw in the Sefer of Avi Mishkan Evne, he suggests that if we want to be able to take this step, if we want to be able to make the change permanent, the step that we need to take is to clear out a space. How do we clear out a space? By picking one ratzon, one desire that we have, and being mevater on it, and passing on it, and saying, that's going to be the space that I'm clearing, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, has a place where He can rest inside of me. And for every person, that's going to be different. But that's something that we need to think about as Slichos begin, and as we enter this final week. And it can be an extreme change, or it doesn't have to be an extreme change. It can be when the next time we're going to lease the car to downgrade a model, or it can be something as simple as, there's a TV show that I like to watch, and I'm going to give that up. Whatever it is, if we take that step of showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're willing to be mevatar in our ratzon, we want to create an opening, a permanent opening in our hearts, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that the type of relationship, the Ani L'Dodi, that we're establishing is a permanent one. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can respond in kind with the Dodi Li. And with these lessons in mind, of using Elul to prepare, not just to practice, but it's a chance to foster our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by opening our hearts to let Him in, then hopefully we'll merit that the Yomim Noraim experience that we're about to begin tonight will be one that not only lasts for 40 days, but continues for a lifetime, and will all be zocha to be inscribed for Shnat Chaim Yishalom. Kaddish Rabbanim.